right. Let's get off into a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you, Lord God, for what we are receiving, Lord God, the impartation, the revelation, knowledge, the instruction from our man of God, from the instructors here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center. And we thank you, Lord God, that you give us ears to hear, Lord God, and a heart that we can understand, Lord God, that the impartations will take place, Lord God, and we'll receive everything from you, Lord Jesus, that you desire for us to have. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to continue on our study of the Spirit of Honor. And like I said, each week, what I'll try to do is key in on certain key verses of Scripture that pertain to honor, and we're going to continue following pretty much in line with the Tudor Bismarck's book, The Spirit of Honor. But before we start, one of the things that was on my heart today, and I was just pondering this ministry, and my wife and I, we've been members and part of this ministry for about maybe 27, 28 years now. And I just want everybody to know you have no idea how blessed you are. The level of word and the wisdom and the impartation and the anointing that we have a privilege to sit under on a regular basis, not only just directly from the apostle, but everybody and every minister, every pastor that's connected to the apostolic, because that anointing, as we learned earlier, flows down. So everybody who's connected, that same anointing, that self-same anointing is there. And I don't want you to take for granted, because there have been so many people in times past who got sidetracked, got knocked off the truck and never got back on, never got back in socket. You know, so I want you to make sure that you stay focused on what God has called you to do and who God has called you to serve under. Amen? All right, Matthew chapter 13, we're going to be looking at starting at verse 53. Matthew 13 and verse 53, I'm going to read a few passages of Scripture. It says, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed hence. And when he had come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Hence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Hence then had this man all these things." In other words, this was Jesus's own fellow, you know, from the same local area, from the same city, and they grew up with his family, and we talked about this a little last week. So they knew him, but they were astonished at the doctrine and the wisdom and the anointing that was flowing out of him when he taught in their synagogues. It's kind of like all of a sudden somebody you grew up with shows back up in town, and you recognize them, but you say, that ain't the same person, you know? And one of the scriptures I shared last week, you know, we talked about, when the anointing of God comes on you, spiritually, from a spiritual aspect, you are literally turned into another man, because you are full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, you know, because you have yielded yourself over to the point to where, you know, nothing else matters but God. And so they were just astonished, you know, at Jesus and the eloquent words that he was speaking, you know. And they said, you know, from hence had you know, this man all these things. And verse 57 says, even after all of that, it said that they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. In other words, anywhere else I go, I receive honor, but here I am in my own country, in my own house, in my own city, among my own people, you know, and I'm not respected. And we talked about this last week. because they had allowed Jesus to become too familiar with them, too common. They saw him as one of them. And instead of seeing the fact that the hand of God was upon his life and God had chosen him for a unique assignment. And that's something, you know, in the area of honor, God will raise up whomever he wants to. He'll raise one up and set one down. But when God's hand is upon a man of God, we must recognize and honor the anointing, the man, and the gift that's on his life. Because that's the only way you're going to receive the blessing. It's the only way that you're going to receive the blessing. And I want you to take these scriptures to heart, because I've seen too many times where people who started off with me, you know, some 27, 28 years ago, and when I look back, those who left, a lot of times I'll run into old associates, and I'll ask them, what are you doing since you left the ministry? Most of the people I run into, the first thing they say, I really haven't been doing anything ministry-wise. You know, because when you get off track, it's hard to get reconnected, because you're out of pocket, you're out of sync, and you're out of socket, you know. And I want to make sure that every one of you, that doesn't happen. You know, whatever you, whomever, and I'm talking to the internet, you know, I know we have some satellite ministries, and I thank God for that. I remember one of the meetings, one of the LTMA pastors, the MVBs, made a statement, said, yeah, I had a school of ministry, but I shut it down, and we're just having satellite ministry from Word of Life Christian Center, from Ever-Increasing Word Training Center. That's honor. You know, that's honor. You know, when you want them to get it direct, you know, and when people are doing that, the members and the people cannot help but be blessed, because they're submitted without any reservation, and that's what it's all about. Let me move on now. But I wanted to start off with those verses of scripture, because that's very important. Last week we talked about and we gave some definitions of honor, and I'm gonna just kind of go over a few things, not everything, but you know, we said that honor is first one with high esteem, high public esteem. They are people or individuals of high reputation and character, individuals who have notoriety and recognition. And we said, thirdly, they are individuals who have privileges that's conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their gifting, and their ranks. Honor, the word honor is also the root word for the word honorarium. And you've probably heard that word before, you know, a minister or a person receiving an honorarium. And what an honorarium is actually, we'll give you the definition. An honorarium literally is payment in recognition for one's ministering of the word, payment for services, one's services professionally, as for ministering the gospel. It also means a fee that's rendered to a professional person for services that they have rendered unto you. You can generally tell if a man of God is honored by the honorarium that they receive. You know, when you honor a man of God properly, the honorarium or the honor that you give him will be well received. And one of the things we talked about last week, we talked about it the first week, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed. Always have a gift, because what that does, that opens up the avenue of blessing that's on him to come upon your life. I'm going to read some things that Bishop Tudor Bismarck states in his book, and I thought it was some really key points. He says, as a result in the world today, we have this crazy behavior. I think it's crazy, the author says, when individuals go to minister before, you know, in a city or whatever, to the place that they're scheduled to minister, and there's this 10 or 12 page contract, because the individuals who have called them to minister in for them don't understand honor. And what I mean by a contract, instead of them just, you know, hey, the offering belongs to the man of God. You know, instead of them, we're going to write up a contract and we're going to do 60-40. You know, where you get 40, we get 60. Because when you bring in a man of God who's anointed, people are going to come. And so they know their churches are going to be filled. So they're more concerned about getting their percentage in. And so they write a business contract instead of teaching their people, we got a man of God coming into our city. I want you guys to honor him, you know, because I've taught you how to honor. You know, you see, when you have churches where your pastor teaches you how to honor, when the man of God comes to your church or your city, it's you know what to do. And then what happens? The anointing is uninhibited. The word of God comes forward in boldness and power. The portals of heaven are open, and everybody who has a need, the needs get met, manifestations take place, healings, demonstrations of the Spirit. Why? Because there's nothing now to short circuit the power of God, because the people have been taught, you know. And what the author was saying is, you know, and you see, we here at Word of Life Christian Center and Ever Increasing Word Training Center, you know, and LTMA, we're changing that culture, that old culture of not honoring men of God the way they're supposed to. I'm gonna give you, like I said, I'm full of stories, but several years ago, some friends of mine who we were all part of a campus ministry, as I said, you know, a while back. And so we were planning on having a reunion of some of the old students and the new ones who are part of the fellowship, and just to kind of let the present students know, you know, how things got started and to encourage them. So we called in one of our former students who was a Rhema grad, who was an evangelist, or is an evangelist, to come in and to do a Sunday service. We had a picnic that Saturday and get together that Friday evening. It was a weekend thing, and we were going to conclude it out with a church service that Sunday. So he came and ministered to people individually, and when the offering was given, it was stated we had a couple of people who led praise and worship. At the last minute, they got a piano player and some people who, you know, were gifted in song, and they sung. And it was stated that the offering was going to go to the praisers. And I got up and I said, well, wait a minute. I said, you know, we're going to honor the man of God who we brought in here. You know, he came down here from Tulsa, brought his family, you know, and I said, no, I pulled that money out of my pocket, and I said, anybody who wants to honor him, we're going to honor him, because you just can't, you know, you cannot allow somebody to come and minister the word and not show them the honor. The Bible says giving honor. And you know, how can I say this? With what you're learning, you'll know better, you know. And when you see dishonor being displayed because of tradition, you know, I mean, it's been traditional that, you know, the musicians and the singers and the praises you had would receive a stifling, you know, but that's a gift, you know. And you see, when you honor God with your gift, you know, God's gonna repay you. You know, it's not a matter of you looking for a monetary gift, because God says, you know, whatever you do for me, I am gonna bless you. You know, but the Bible does say how it is important for us to honor the gift that's before us. All right, let me move on here. An apostolic gift in most cases is not properly honored in their own hometown, but we're changing that, as I stated. This dishonor for the apostolic is changing, and once it's changed, then we'll begin to see the full-blown release of God's blessing upon our lives. You can turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. I'm going to go ahead and start reading for the sake of time. In 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, it says, "And they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Topekah. And they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Then he said, believe in the Lord your God, and so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. When you believe and act on what the prophetic and the apostolic gift is saying, you're showing honor, you know, by hearing what the apostolic. You see, when give you an example, where dishonor took place, but there's consequences. Moses was God's man when during the days of them being led out of Egypt, out of bondage into the promised land. And so if anybody had God's ear during that time frame, Moses had God's ear. God called Moses and told him to come up to the top of the mountain. And when he got up there, he told Moses to take his shoes off because you're on holy ground, Moses. And he says, I hear the cry of my people. You know, so God gave Moses a mandate. You know, I want you to go down there and I want you to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And whoever God calls, guess what? God will equip. You know, God will equip them to do the job. And even Moses kind of says, well, I'm not a man of elegant speech. But he says, well, hey, I'm going to have Aaron do your speaking for you. You know, but you go down there and you do exactly what I tell you to do. So he did, and Pharaoh let him go. Well, we're going to make the story short. But while they were going into the promised land, and, you know, and because of the hardness of their hearts and their dishonor to a large degree and not wanting to obey the man of God who was hearing, who had the heaven and earth connection, it took them longer than necessary to get to the promised land. Well, and then you always have some rebels who come up, somebody who got their own idea, you know, and one of them's name was Corin. Well, Corin, he got a little disturbed because of, you know, things weren't working and wasn't flowing the way he thought they should flow. So he confronted Moses and says, hey, Moses, you know, what's going on here? You know, says, I can hear from God, and you're not the only one God speaks to, you know. And then God told Moses, say, hey, look, you tell Corin to everybody who wants to be on and who's with Corin to step over here on the other side. And those people that's going to follow me and the Lord, y'all come behind me. And all of a sudden, now the ground opens up. And the reason why I'm saying that is because there are consequences for disobedience, for dishonor. Now, that was in the Old Testament. We're living under grace. But still, when you know, I don't even like doing business, and I don't do business. If somebody disconnect from my man of God, I don't even do business with them. You know, don't have limited to no fellowship with them, you know. And that's because what happens, and I've seen it. I'll give you another illustration. I'm going to move on. There was a family that was, you know, well, they were in leadership position here at the church. They left the ministry. The apostle told them not to leave. I need you. I remember him saying that, but they left. And shortly after that, they had a little get-together at their house. Well, they invited my wife and I and several other members from the church. And after we got the invitation, my wife and I talked about it and said, we're not going. You know, they disconnected. You know, we part companies, you know, just like the Red Sea. You know, it's so we didn't go. Because what ends up happening, now this is dishonor, but you honor when you do the right thing. I knew that somewhere in the middle of that party, the apostle's name was going to be brought up and somebody was going to dishonor. And sure enough, we got word back that, you know, that happened. You know, and I was just, Lord, I'm glad I wasn't there because I'd have had to excuse myself and tell them, you know, hey, because it's, you know, you don't, you see, and what it is, God has an agenda. And he gives that agenda or that divine mandate to his man of God. And anyone or anybody or anything that gets in the way of that mandate is gonna, the consequences are gonna take place. All through the Bible, you see countless times where people went against Lucifer, who was, you know, archangel in heaven, you know, led the praise and worship. And we're going to get into this later on in about two or three classes. But he, you know, decided, hey, you know, I want to be like the Most High. You know, I want to be like God. I want people to worship me. And God cast him out, and everybody, all the other angels that he had, you know, hoodwinked to follow him, you know, and they were cast out of heaven. Why? Because of dishonor. That was a dishonor, you know. And all through the Bible, when you read it, you'll see honor and you'll see dishonor. And you'll see the consequences and the blessings of honor all through the Bible. And so, you know, what we're doing here is showing you the importance of how to walk in honor. When God is honored, his presence, his power, and his ability, all that God is, all that God has, all that God can do shows up. And basically what that is, that's the manifested presence of God. The very Shekinah glory of God comes on the scene to be a blessing to those who honor properly. Amen. Let's move on. The clock never did start. Okay, all right. I'm just make sure you knew. Okay. Ephesians 2 and 20. Ephesians 2 and 20. God's government is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And that's based on Ephesians 2 and 20. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and are built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. And then in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, it talks about God setting his church in proper order. It says, and God set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, and the workings of miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversity of tongues. So here in these two verses of scripture, we see number one, that it says that are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Another scripture I wanted to go to, matter of fact, let's go to that in our Bibles because that's a pivotal verse of scripture. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Isaiah chapter 9. Let me get there quickly. All right. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born. That's talking about Jesus. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. The government, God's government, is upon the shoulders of Jesus. The government is rested upon his shoulders. But then, you know, underneath Jesus, God has ordained and appointed apostles and prophets where now the foundation is laid, okay? And it's so important that we understand that. And then it goes on to say in verse 7, and of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it. That word order it is very important. God is a God of order. Nothing God do is haphazardly. He doesn't just, you know, just throw some stuff together and however it falls, that's the way it falls. No, God is a God of order. And actually, honor is the structure of honor. I'm sorry, honor is the structure, order is the structure of honor because when you walk in God's order, the divine order, you can't help but walk in honor. You know, when you walk in the proper order, I'll give you an example. I was called years ago on an assignment from the apostle to represent him at a funeral years ago. I think it was the first time I'd ever had that assignment placed upon me. And all I knew to do was to find out who was in authority and submit to the pastor of that church. So when I got to the church, I immediately asked, I presented myself as, as a representative of Apostle Thompson from Word of Life Christian Center, and I'm here representing the family, and I named the family, and he says, I'm the pastor. We're about to start the processional. Now, normally at some funerals, especially traditional funerals, there's a processional where they go down the aisle, they have the coffin, and the coffin is already up there, but the family. And he says, the pastor tells me, stand on my right side and follow me down the processional. So we're walking. I'm new at this. Okay, I'm walking, following him. But I'm submitted to my man of God, but at the same time, I'm submitted to the pastor of that church. And then so all the family members take up the front rows as normal. Well, the pastor and whatever ministers that were with him, they were going up into the pulpit. So I stopped, because I didn't get permission to go up in the pulpit. And he saw that I stopped, and he beckoned for me to come. So I walked up, and then I just, stood, and he told me to sit, over here on one side, and I did. And then he walked over to me, and he says, I want you to open up the service with prayer. So I went ahead, and I prayed, nothing elaborate, just prayed a prayer and went back. And then the service went on, But my point with this was, when you know order and you follow order, honor is going to be close by, because it, that was my first experience. I felt honored, but I didn't put my foot out and step out on my own, You always, and that's something I learn every day. The more I'm associated with this ministry, I learn, the Bible says your gift will make room for you. When you're sowing into the anointing and submitting to the anointing, your gift, the tithes and the offerings and the money you sow and your submission and your yieldedness. And your the honor you show will make room for you, and you'll learn as you grow how important that is. Let's move on. How am I on my time? Because I need to know how. Okay, thank you. Okay, all right. See, that's another thing. I've talked about that before. Is making sure you stay within your time frame, and I want to make sure that I cover everything I need to cover in that time frame. All right, let me move on. There was something that I wanted to make sure. Okay, here, important. Honor is reciprocation. This is what the Bishop Tudor Bismarck states in his book. Honor is reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is received and how the people then act upon what has been released. Honor is reciprocation. We talked about that word reciprocal a couple of weeks ago. It's reciprocation in terms of how the anointing is released and how the people then act upon what has been released. And that's so very important. In ministry, there needs to be reciprocation where people are sowing into a gift and receiving importation instead of established business contracts with no importation. I'll read that again. In ministry, there needs to be reciprocation. In other words, where the man of God, they're sowing the anointing, they're sowing spiritual things into our lives, and we're sowing monetary things out of our lives, sowing into them. And there needs to be reciprocation where people are sowing into the gift and receiving importation instead of established business contracts. When a gift is honored properly, when the apostolic is honored properly, there's a release of benefits, blessings, favors, and anointing. Importation should take place. Mantles should be released. Okay, I'm gonna read another statement that's really important. This is the whole concept of what spiritual fathering is all about. I know you've heard that term before, but the concept of having a spiritual father, somebody that can speak into your life, somebody that can put you in a direction that you need to be headed, and can make correction when correction needs to be done. And that's so very important. This is the whole concept of spiritual fathering and what it's all about. The best example I know in the Bible is Elijah and Elisha. Because Elijah honored Elijah, he served him, he received a double portion of Elijah's anointing. Matter of fact, he received Elijah's anointing. The Bible says that, you know, he poured water on Elijah's hand. In other words, whenever Elijah, whatever he needed, Elijah says, as the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not leaving my man of God. That should be, you know, whomever your pastor, you know, whomever you're submitted to, that should be, you know, what's coming out of your heart. As the Lord liveth and my soul liveth, I'm not leaving you. You know, I'm not leaving World Shakers. You know, I'm not leaving a Word of Life Christian Center. I'm not leaving, you know, whatever church that you're a member of. I'm not, you know, because God sent me there, you know. And everything that you need, see, that's honor. You know, that's honor. When you stick to it, and I know there's times where things might get a little edgy and you might, you know, get frustrated and things might not be happening. But most of the times when that happened, breakthrough is right on the horizon, you know, and you got to recognize that, you know, because see, the enemy know that, you know, right before the breakthrough comes, he going to give his last ditch effort to try to discourage and to cause you to say something or do something that's going to just completely wipe it out, you know, what God has for you. So that's when you need to praise God even all the more. That's when you need to begin to be some more submitted, you know, and just, Lord, well, here am I, Lord, whatever you want me to do, Lord God, I'm just here just to serve. Because that's when you need to know that, hey, Satan is mad and he's angry. And he's gonna do whatever he can to derail us. But with wisdom, you know now, hey, I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going anywhere. And that's so very important. Okay, in Elijah's lifetime, not Elijah, the first prophet, but Elijah, his son, he received a double portion. And Elijah did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Double portion. You see, but here's the kicker. And this is where some people get twisted. The son is never greater than the father. But it's the desire of the father for the son to go and accomplish more. Because they are constantly imparting into them, you know. And so they expect them to carry on the legacy and to continue on. And with those double portion anointings, you're able to do more. But it's because of your submission over the years. Elijah served Elijah for over 18 years. You know, he said, I'm not going nowhere. Now, there was another armor bearer, another servant of Elijah, who he received gifts before it was time, you know, and he ended up with leprosy, you know, because he got greedy. He got, you know, he started seeing dollar signs instead of, you know, sticking with his man of God. And I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen to people. And you know, it hurts me because, you know, God had so much for him. You know, some people never get back on track because of dishonor. Sometimes dishonor, and you see, when dishonor derails you, the next thing that's going to come in is pride. Well, I can't come back now. I messed up. You know, pride. You know, pride to keep you out there, and that's a hard pill to swallow. And so now you just dangling out there with no covering, and no anointing because you dishonored. You know, and a lot of times the only way a person can get back on track is if they go back to their man of God, the person who they dishonored and ask them for the, go back on their knees and say, look, you know, just like the prodigal son. 10 minutes? All right, okay. Just like the prodigal son, and it says, look, I've sinned. I'm wrong. You know, your servants live better than me. Let me just be a servant. You know, I forgive me. But he took him back. You know, let me read this statement. Sons, you remember this. Sons must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing to them. Furthermore, we sons must honor, respect, and acknowledge that the Father has been empowered to impart and to convey the blessing we need. That's so very important. I'm going to read it again. Sons must realize that the hands of the Father releases the blessing to them. You know, the blessing you need is going to be released through the hands of your man of God. Furthermore, we sons must honor, respect, you know, and acknowledge that the Father has been empowered to impart and convey the blessing that we need. You know, there's no other way. You know, I used to use the statement, you know, there's no such thing as, well, I just got an original anointing. In other words, God just blessed me and I just started up and things just start to happen. No, you have to submit. You know, there's a process. You didn't work the process. Most ministries and most people that happen to, I've seen them crumble. I had a good friend of mine. When I was in college, I went to a Baptist Student Union retreat. And I met this other ministry from another university. And they were spirit-filled, and we got to be real close, good friends, and kind of, you know, talked and did some things. Well, they graduated, they started a ministry, you know, started a church. The church blossomed to over 2,500 members. They were on TV, they had their own school. Things were really blossoming, you know. This was a true story. And when I met him again, you know, he was telling me about all that God was doing. And he said, what's happening in your life? Well, I'm a member of World Life Christian Center. Dr. Leroy Thompson, Sr., I work in the Ministry of Helps. And they said, you don't have your own church? You know, I kind of felt, you know, kind of a little low, you know what I mean? Because you know, seemed like I should have been doing more, you know. But, see, the Bible says despise not small beginnings, you know. But at the same time, don't be intimidated. You know where you're supposed to be. And anyway, the apostle was at a meeting, Kenneth Hagin meeting. I'm not even naming the city. But anyway, I was at the meeting, and it was just so happened my friend, his city, that was the same city he lived in. I invited him to the meeting. He said, look, I'm too busy to go, but I'll meet you after, and we'll have lunch. Well, just so happened, the lunch that we had was at the same restaurant that the apostle was at, and several other prominent ministers were there. And they were just gleaming from the apostle, excuse me. And what I mean by that is, you know, he was talking, sitting at the table. One man was sitting on the floor because there wasn't enough chairs on the table, so he just sat on the floor, you know. And we were sitting over there, and I told my friend, I said, look, it's getting late, and what I'll do when we get up, I'll pass by my pastor, and I'll say, excuse me, Pastor, because I had already told the pastor earlier, apostle, that, you know, I got a young man I want you to kind of talk to. He's got a growing ministry, and you know, God is doing some things in his life. But here's the kicker. We go, and I did this. The apostle stands up, shakes his hand, and begins to immediately speak into his life, you know, and begins to share some things with him. You know, one of the things he told me, he said, you don't want to build your ministry on talented people. You don't want to build your ministry on the gifts of the Spirit. You know, you want to build your ministry on the Word of God. And he said, your people need to see you on Sunday. They don't need to see bringing in all these other people, you know. And then he says, do you have a spiritual father? He said, you need somebody to speak into your life. He says, He said, if you want to, you can come and visit with the ministry. He says, give Greg a resume and have him send it to me. You know, he says, you know, and if things work out, it will. He said, but you need a covering, you know. And the guy says, well, this other ministry, and I'm thinking about it. He says, well, he said, well, whoever it is, you need a covering. You need a spiritual father. Never got the resume. You know, he went on his way. I went on my way. Several years later, I went back through that area to go to a meeting that the Lord instructed me to go to because he wanted me to see spiritual legacy, and I'm going to talk about that later. But anyway, when I went back, I went to his house. I remember where he stayed, drove up. I saw his wife sitting on the front porch. And when I said, hey, and I spoke to her, I said, where is your husband? And she looked at me kind of astonished. She says, we're divorced. I said, what? And then she began to share some things with me that had transpired, and it was things that the apostle told him to look out for, you know. And basically, ministry got derailed, family got you know torn apart, you know, all because of not having proper covering, somebody to speak into your life, to jerk the slack out you, and to tell you, no, you're going the wrong way, you're too fast here, you know. It makes a difference. It makes a difference because people's lives are in the balance, you know, and that's why, you know, 1 Corinthians 4 and 15 says, for though there be 10,000 instructors, yet we have not many fathers. I have begotten you in the gospel. That's Paul speaking. He says, though there be 10,000 instructors, yet you have not many fathers. You know, when you have a father, you have somebody to honor. Somebody to show honor into. Sons of the Father should receive the blessing, the gift, the benefit, the favor, the anointing, and the mantle that the spiritual father has for them to receive, instead of the curse where they become bastard children because of their acts of disobedience. You know, a bastard is somebody who doesn't have a father. You know, you have too many bastard-style ministries out there. Men and women who don't have nobody to submit to, nobody to speak into their life, nobody that they can honor. That's so very important. Let me move on. All right, here's a verse of scripture, the last two verses of scripture in the Old Testament, Malachi, 7 minutes. Okay, good. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. And this is what the prophet says here. He says, behold, I will send ye Elijah, the prophet, before that great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. So here he's saying, you know, I'm gonna send Elijah. Or really, there's a New Testament scripture to that, which is Luke 1 and 17. This is what Luke 1 and 17 says. He says, and he shall go before him in the power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. I believe in these last days that spirit of Elijah is come. And is turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their spiritual, to their God-ordained fathers, you know, because that's the way God set it up. That's order, you know, and I want to talk more about order, but that's divine order. When you walk in order, you can't help but be in honor because one structures the other. Amen? All right. In these last days, and basically what I just said, God has sent that spirit of Elijah again back into the earth to turn the hearts of sons and daughters from bastard-style ministries and fatherless ministries to the hearts of their God-given spiritual fathers so that they might receive the impartation and the double portion anointings and the mantles that they need in their lives. Ministry gifts need to be respected and honored so the revelation and the impartation can be released. Honor the gift that God has sent to you releases the Father's blessing in your life. Honoring the gift that God has sent to you in your life releases the blessing that God has for you. That's so very important. This is why the government of God is so important, and why it is being restored back to the church. You know, we're talking about God said that thy kingdom come in the prayer that we often read as children. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on heaven and in earth. God is establishing his kingdom. Okay, his kingdom is being established in honor, and it's established also in honor. You know, and that's so very important that we understand that, because when that kingdom is established, you know, that's where Bible we read in Isaiah where it talks about the government is on upon his shoulders, and the peace will be no end, because everything is going to flow properly when you have structure and you have order and honor, where people are following orders. And they're giving instructions from heaven, and the anointing is flowing, everybody gets blessed. And the Spirit of God is flowing in such an awesome way until there's no restriction. And I don't have time, but I wanted to read some verses of Scripture in Romans. I'm gonna read a few of them, then I'll go ahead and conclude. Romans 13 chapter. It says, Romans 13 and 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that exist are ordained of God. In other words, the powers that exist have been instituted by God. Whosoever therefore resisted the power or resists authority, apostolic authority, basically what you're doing, you're resisting the ordinance of God or the order of God. And it says that, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers, I'm gonna come back to verse 3. But God is a God of order. Remember this. God is a God of order. He sets authorities because he wants divine order in his kingdom. Without some form of order, there will be chaos, confusion, and anarchy, which will result in there being dishonor and disrespect in the land for those in authority. So order is very important. You know, even in the natural, I'm about to conclude. You know, when you disobey natural laws, run a stop sign, rob a bank, you know, there's consequences because you are not following the ordinances and the rules of the land. You know, that's what next week we're going to get more into Romans the 13th chapter. You know, every power that exists is ordained and ordered by God, you know, because God is a God of order. And because he's a God of order, there's going to be, you know, order in the land, and that order will produce honor because, you know, you honor the powers that be, the authorities that be. And that's so very important if we want the blessings and the benefits and all that God has for us. Amen? All right, we're going to conclude with that, and we'll see everyone next week. You guys be blessed.